Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that you're here, even as the word of promise gave us to understand in your book which vindicated to us. And we know, Lord, that you're still here. You have not left us. Even as Brother Branham said concerning you, there were things that you could not do when you were here on earth, and you had to return and do them in the form of the Holy Spirit. We know that's true, that now in the disincarnation, you're here, and you will not leave us till all those things which you were meant to do are fulfilled unto us. And then at that time, we know in the final trumpet call, we'll be gathered together to the wedding supper, to the reincarnation, to crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that is true, and we thank you for it, Lord. It gives us great hope. May the realization permeate our very hearts, minds, and lives until we are really alive with the truth of the Word today, the living Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're up to number 18. And spoken word is original seed, and we recall from last Sunday that Brother Branham on page 29 was setting forth John 14:12 in identical manner to John 3 and 5, both of which are spoken word or original seed. Now, you remember that the scripture there in John 3 and 5, I think that's what he was looking at, talking to Nicodemus, when he said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was wondering how it was that that possibly could happen, and of course, it does happen through the work of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice very carefully there that Brother Branham said that was a spoken seed word, and he mentioned it was that very experience, we may even read it again, I'm not sure, that brought you back to where you should be, even though you're in this present condition. This is that step that is required so that when you perish, you can go to that, what he called the theophonic form, which is a spirit body or a word body. Now, please notice carefully, as he is relating that particular scripture to people, John 3:5, and of course it also includes him, the same as when Moses brought the manna he himself had to partake of, the same as Paul did. Brother Branham now goes to John 14:12, speaking of that one where Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, even greater works than these shall he do also," and the same works and greater. So you'll notice here then that this is a particular seed word that is not the same as John 3 and 5, because this is in the singular and refers to a certain person and absolutely must come to pass. And this, of course, is where we have the trouble with so many people, even recently, where you had a Friday night meeting where one man sitting under my ministry for the last 10 years asked the question, be brought up again, differentiate between the baptizer and the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is perturbing to me because you are simply not understanding what is going on. You're missing the whole point. These are two seeds, and they'll both be completely fulfilled because it's a spoken word of God. They must be manifested. There is no word that cannot be fulfilled or manifested. And John 3, in fact, is identical in the sense of fulfillment and manifestation, purpose, and design of Almighty God, which promise cannot fail, it must come forth. It has been sown, and there will be those that are born again. And this one has been sown, and there must be somebody to do these works, singular. You follow me? Any questions? I hope I didn't scare you by blasting you off the bat. I'm not here to scare you. But as Paul the Apostle said, in the first age, by the time you should be teachers, you're still drinking on the milk. You still don't have a clue. You know something is going on, but what is going on? Brother Branham said the same thing, always looking back, always looking forward, never knowing what's going on. So that must not be concerning us. All right. Understand that. We recall from last Sunday, Brother Branham on page 29 was setting forth John 14:12 in identical manner to John 3:5, both of which are spoken word original seed. And he unfolds John 14:12 as the original spoken word that has been planted and must come forth exactly as given. Now remember, it can only come forth as the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that broke from the blood cell of Jesus Christ, that same life that watered, has to water this word, and it will do the same thing. Right? Thank you. You don't mind if I grin at you. I just want to see you're on your toes. All right. Now, and must come forth exactly as has been given, because not one word of God can fail, and not one word of God, but comes forth in its own time and place. Huh? Oh, yeah, don't think the things in Israel that are going to happen there are going to happen here. And don't think the things that happen here will happen in Israel. Now, there'd be a great deal of it done when the two messengers or prophets come, Moses and Elijah. But don't get yourself mixed up in this day. You've seen your last sign. So I'm going to change that. When I talked to a woman the other night, very brassy woman, when I told her Brother Branham, she said, I don't care what Brother Branham said. I go to the Bible for my answer. I said, sister, he quoted the Bible. What do you think of a person like that who would say that in the light of this vindication?
Well, Brother Branham, you're not nice. You got no love. You take your niceness and your love someplace else, brother, sister.
I'm not a kind old priest. No way, shape, and form. You know, sometimes rightness means rottenness. You know, that's just a hairbreadth away from being ripe and rotten.
You think that went over.
He even said, if you don't plant cucumbers, you won't get cucumbers. But if you plant them, you get them and not some hybrid. Now remember, this is his language. Thus, it is sure and certain that John 14:12 must be produced in some man exactly as it was in Christ Jesus, even to the greater works. As the full word of God was manifested bodily in Jesus, that is, there was complete evidence of the Father doing the work according to the word of God, so in this last day of when perfection comes, that means conclusion and polishing off, the works that will be manifested are the same, proving it is the time for the former rain to come after the latter rain is manifested, and this is word restoration by Elijah. Word restoration by Elijah. Huh? Okay, I hope you're getting it. Let me read it again now. I love my notes because I think they are of the Lord. They might not be, but I feel they are. As the full word of God was manifested bodily in Jesus. Now remember, every prophet in his day was a portion of that word. Remember, when Moses brought his message, it was not Noah's message. And when Jesus brought his, it was not Moses' message. In fact, it came a whole lot closer to Noah's. And when Paul brought his, he simply brought to the Gentiles the vindicated word of Almighty God given by revelation, the complete truth. As it was from Genesis and will be to the end of time, because it is Paul's gospel that is judging the world even now. And that can only be by vindication. All right, I go again. As the full word of God was manifested bodily in Jesus. That is, there was complete evidence of the Father doing the work according to the word of God. So in this last day of when perfection comes, the works that will be manifested are the same, proving it is the time for the former rain to come after the latter rain is manifested, And this is word restoration by Elijah. Now remember the former reign of the teaching reign, the Mora, which we'll see in this spoken word's original seed, is the teaching reign that comes sometime after 1906, which is the Pentecostal latter reign. Now you heard what I just read. Now we go to John 14 again. Now if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. And Jesus hath been so long with you, and he has not known me, Philip. He hath seen the Father, hath seen me. And he hath seen me, hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now listen. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. In other words, he speaks, and he's doing the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, else believe me for the very work's sake. Now what's he talking about? The emphasis is not on the manifestation, which are the works. Because it's repeated here, you think it is, but the emphasis is on the word that this one is bringing. And he says, the works prove it. Then if his works proved it, that he was that one, and you listen to him, this is my beloved son, what are the greater works supposed to do today? Now, come on. If that hasn't rocked you, nothing is ever going to rock you. Nothing ever will rock you. This is that voice from heaven that says it's finished, it's all over. And the judgment has been set, and there isn't any more to come. This is that message spoken of even in Acts and in various places. Well, let's go to the book of Acts. And let's read it to you. And it says here in the third chapter, and it says here in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, period. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. By divine vindication, that is a Holy Ghost miracle healing revival. Fresh from God. And notice, he shall send Jesus Christ, which was a priest unto you, appointed. But watch, whom the heavens must receive or retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There's got to be a restoration set in. Now, what restoration is it? Of the Word of God. From me, those mysteries that are even not known from before the foundation of the world, though in the Scripture are made now real and vital to us. Perfection coming. Spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. For Moses had truly sent the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in you, of your brethren, like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now that's the prophet. That is not Messiah. He's only Messiah if you listen to him as the prophet. If you don't get in as prophet, he is not your Messiah. Now listen carefully, because we're not finished with this yet. All right. Now, and you'll hear him in all things, what he'll say. And it'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now you notice what you're looking at here. And that scripture distinctly says, shall be utterly destroyed. Which is identical to Malachi chapter 4. Neither root nor branch. So what you're looking at here then at the end time, there must be a ministry that is unequivocally of the same Spirit which dwelt in Jesus, which is God Almighty himself, coming upon the scene in a prophet, so tremendously vindicated that nobody has an excuse. There's utter destruction. And that goes for the foolish virgin. Now remember, they're part of election and predestination. Because virgins are virgins. And Brother Branham said, you take a bolt of cloth, you lay the pattern out, you cut the pattern, the rest is a remnant. Wise virgin, foolish virgin. And that what foolish virgin, after the door is shut,
is counted with the filthy and the unrighteous, though they are not truly so. But they find their place there until the white throne, where they are allowed to receive the eternal life. Now, I know people don't believe that. Who cares what they believe? Oh, no truck and trade of their nonsense. Now, notice the works are the same. So the seed is the same. And he was that seed, word, germ of God, the fullness of the word. Now notice, he didn't create one thing. Though previously had, through the same God that was in him, created all things, even the ages. But what is he doing at this particular time? He is delineating or revealing himself as that prophet who, if he is believed, becomes the Messiah. Now keep that in mind. That's important. Now, Omega then is Alpha. Now we're going to go to page 30 and hit paragraph 2, but backtrack a bit. Now, as we study, we will know that this message is again one of those that prove the vindicated prophet of Malachi for. And also that the original seed of John 14:12, which was set aside again to a bride who opened her mind, the womb, receiving spurious seed within the church. Because remember, you got the wise, you got the foolish. Yep, the womb of the mind was open, and therefore this again was set aside. Even as Brother Branham said, back there with Eve, she became the prostitute and caused the interruption. So the second bride also fell. But there'll be the third one at the end time who will not fall. Set aside in 2 Corinthians 11, it still held good. Still held good as the seed in Genesis. Yep, she refused to bear it. And must come up manifested in this hour because God's word cannot fail. He never failed in Genesis 3, and he's not going to fail now. Now, keep in mind what I said. We are looking absolutely at this picture here of the original seed. And that original seed was what Eve turned down. The church has always turned it down. And here it is waiting again to come forth. And remember, when it comes forth, prove it. It's that one. It'll take us up in a rapture for a reincarnation. Well, that will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right. Brother Branham said, if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Right. Remember, he said we were not meant to die. And they did not start with the Word of God to bear those children. They started outside the Word of God. Death. So, if you want life, you've got to go to the Word of God. That's why there is no life outside of this message. And there'll be no message come to life except this one. Now, I know people say you're trying to give the people a mindset. I don't care what anybody says. They want to go to hell, let them go to hell. I'm not here to stop anybody. I'm not a shepherd of the damned. I'm not a shepherd of goats. I'm not a shepherd of jackrabbits. I'm not even a shepherd. I'm a teacher. And you do what you want. It's up to you. Now, except, he said, A-C-C-E-P-T, the Word of God in its fullness, every measurement. That could not happen till now. Because of line upon line, precept upon precept, we know in part, we see in part, we hear in part, we got a part. But there comes a time when all the parts are finished. There are no more parts. 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, get to that later. Now, And if now here said you, accept the word of God in its fullness, every measure of it, and if that fullness is in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. That's Paul quoting. You are the husbandry, you are the field, you are the garden of God, and there's something planted in you, in the earthen vessel. There's an incomparable treasure, which is the germ, the seed of Almighty God. If you are part of Him, you're not going to miss it. Now, it'll produce exactly what's in your garden. Now, He tells you this, the teaching rain that falls, which is in Hebrews 6, falls upon the just and the unjust, falls upon the wheat and the tares. He said, whatever is in your garden, the rain, the teaching rain that Brother Branham brought, is going to bring forth a harvest. And it depends in what's in you. It doesn't depend on the word or what you may think you may get or what you may hope for. It depends on what you already are. And later on he goes into predestination. Just keep listening to me. All right. Now watch. Then now, where's your latter rain coming up at? There's your Pentecostals. What is in them? Like Brother T.L. Osborne, the voice said, why, that's the way it was done in the Bible. You can do the same thing. And everybody began to run and run and look for gifts. They didn't care two bits whether the gifts were in order or not, or anybody in order, or women had short hair and men going around like a sissified bunch of jackasses. They didn't care. They still don't care. That's why they got Dr. Bartolucci as their prophet, a Roman Catholic, at that. Well, they'll soon have the Pope. Yeah, they already got him, tell you the truth. You see where that's going after a while, don't you? The two vines. The Spirit's so close like a razor blade. See? Watch. Going over with these wild gourds that Elisha got and thought they weren't gourds or some school of the prophets up there, that denomination they had, gathered some wild gourds, and they thought they were peas. Now, we're going to start reading. Then the works will be manifested in Him are the same. In other words, then whatever works are manifested in Him are the same, which are identical. So now you're looking at works. And remember, He threw in the understanding of the former rain falling at the time of the latter rain, wherein He said this prophet plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent in the garden to the prophet in the former rain. At the time of the latter rain. That's where he's at. Now he said, what is it going to bring forth? Then the words, the works will be manifested in him are the same. Or it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was his example seed. Now notice was the example. Now, if a thing is an example, there's something going to follow it that you go by to test the waters. Like when Brother Branham spoke in the church ages. He said John heard a voice behind him, and he turned to see the voice. And the understanding of turning to see the voice is, was it a scriptural voice? Does it run in continuity with the Word? I can tell you one thing. If you can't understand the continuity of God bringing His Word by a prophet, forget it. Forget it. You haven't got a a snowball's chance in the lake of fire. Now, God's Son was His example seed. And what His life was when the Spirit poured upon Him after His baptism and the Holy Ghost came upon Him, the very life that He produced will, the same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost now, the same life that one was there, the broken, came back upon who's ever here today, will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same thing that He did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth the Son of God's seed. In other words, it'll produce the life in it. Now, shame on you women with bobbed hair. What's Brother Branham telling the women? I'm vindicated and you're not listening. You don't care two bits what I'm saying. And right here in the hour of the latter rain, and you're supposed to be a former rain, and you don't even care two bits about it. You're so enamored with the latter rain, you can't cock your ear. You can't listen. The voice of thunder is too loud for the lightning. Oh, yeah. Now, you won't bring forth bob-haired women, I can tell you that. Shame on you preachers denying that truth. You say, oh, that's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it. But God said it did. All right, what seed is that? That denies the vindication as the authority to reveal the word. Yeah. Something's wrong. Hair is mentioned in the word. So don't take it out. Find out if there's something to it or not. But they turned their back because the women were speaking in tongues and running their husbands and preaching out of both sides of their mouths and their back of the head at the same time. That's where they're going bald. Too much hot air. That was a nasty remark. I meant it. See where it's at? See? That's why I believe the word, it's the seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. In the one place, it'll bring forth long hair. In the second place, it'll bring forth short hair. You mean to tell me there's two kinds of rain that falls on the wheat and the tares? No, it's one rain. It's going to ripen them both. They're ripening rain. All right. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What will you do? Make a million more and 44 Baptist, Presbyterians, whatever more, Pentecostals? But where is that manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? Now he's saying, listen, you're talking as though you're the gate to heaven, as you're the door to God. Where's your vindication? Prove it. Anybody can talk. What do you think the devil did? He talked the word right away through a beast. She hasn't got a word of his own. Even the Muslims don't have a word of their own. They've got to go to the first five books. Who is Allah? The name of their God, which was the devil. Say, oh, we believe in God. You better watch that nonsense. Where is the manifestation of works of Jesus Christ? I do nothing till the Father first shows me. Where is that kind of a seed coming from? Now, what are we looking at here? We are looking at John 14 and 12. And when you look at John 14 and 12, you are looking at a vindicated prophet. That's what you're doing. Now, the vindicated prophet cannot deny 1 Corinthians 11 treating women's hair. Can't do it. Even as Paul came on the scene and brought all the types and things of the Old Testament, this one man is on the scene, Paul the Apostle, and he tells you absolutely the very things that Brother Branham said. He says, like in verse 7, the man indeed ought not cover his head for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. She is not the glory of God. She's a step down. That's why you see the two creations there, as it were, in the book of Genesis in the forming. She's different. Now, for the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither is the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, this is the big reason why she's got to have her hair covered, head covered. And it's not some little stupid little thing that the Amish or the different people put on their heads. That's not it. They can have it, that's fine, but that's not it. It's the hair. Now, what I want to show you is this. This prophet is vindicated to say what he was supposed to say. Now, Jesus was the prophet. Now, let's go back to Matthew 12. I'll catch up on what I said a while ago, so you'll understand. But when Jesus knew it, verse 15, he withdrew himself from thence. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now watch. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send for judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust, not prophet Messiah. Are you rocked in your seats or are you numb tonight? With the same numbness I am to realize what we had here was a prophet, but there above in the pillar of fire is Messiah. The same one that followed Israel. We are looking beyond the prophet. The greater works prove that Messiah has come to the Gentiles. As Brother Branham said, he had to appear to the Gentiles. And that's exactly true. So the eyes are no longer upon the fact of the prophet. The eyes are upon the fact of Messiah. Even as John the Baptist pointed to him, so this one here points to Messiah. The Messiah of the Gentiles, that he was the Messiah to the Gentiles, is proven by the very fact he is doing, that he has done the same things today that he did when he was here in the flesh, bringing us a complete Alpha and Omega picture. Now listen, what is that spirit we're talking about? Because this is in the spirit. It is not here in the flesh. Remember, he's carrying the Gentiles to victory. The bruised reed he doesn't break. The smoking flax he does not quench. And he's going to hurl it forth in judgment unto victory. Now watch right there. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges his floor, gathers wheat in the garden. What is he talking about? He's talking as he was back in Israel, the first resurrection, the first half. You're into the second half now with the Gentiles. And it is now victory time. And we will not die. No way, shape, and form are going to be caught away. Now, that is spirit. Now, what is that spirit? This is what the students cannot understand. And unless we, Brother Branham, have taught us, not one of us could understand. All right, Ephesians 1 and 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, there's that spirit coming into the church. Notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is exceeding great is the power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now the point is this. If that spirit, which has to be the spirit of God, the Father in the Son, if that isn't the same spirit, then I don't know what I'm talking about, because he talks about an enlightenment, which is the word of Almighty God. So therefore, without the ministry, you can't have any enlightenment. That's why there was a latter rain before the former, indicating what was coming. But the latter rain itself was not sufficient, because that's a multiplication of gifts within the church. But when you talk about a word, a prophet, like Elijah, he is above all fivefold ministry and all gifts, no matter what they are. He stands right there, fully anointed of God, the one forerunning and not just foreshadowing, but showing forth Messiah. Proving that the same works that Messiah did as prophet, and when they turned him down as prophet, he couldn't be Messiah. And if you turn down that as prophet, you no more got a Messiah than nothing. Talk all you want about a representative and someone standing for God for you. You get as bad as Bob Brown. He's got him comatose. Sold out to Jesus only theory. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to meet every one of my words shortly. And you're going to meet them with me. And I'm just not throwing off on people. Let's get that flat. I warned that man to take a shortcut. You'd come right to Jesus only. I talked to David Pollard the odd time. The other day, David said again what he said to me a time before. Brother Vail, he changed it down a little bit to make it sound softer. One time he said, now we're 90%. This time he said, Brother Vail, over 80% of all the Branhamites are Jesus only. You don't even know it. And he said, I know it, because I was a Jesus only. Take your shortcuts. You'll find out what it's all about. Trouble is people think they know too much because they don't know what the prophet said. They don't know doctrine. they become a casualty. Do you understand therefore what I'm saying? Messiah. Messiah has come to the Gentiles. He has proven who he was all these 2,000 years working amongst the Gentiles. And now we know the hope is not a false one. But they without us cannot be made perfect, but we be made perfect. They'll come out of the ground we changed. Exactly according to the ministry the Apostle Paul spoke of when he said, God will judge the world by my gospel. And that judge is on the scene right today. On the one hand, he's the judge condemning. On the other hand, he's the judge allowing. But he's not just that. He's the Messiah. That's why they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh in this hour, because he is Messiah. Yep. Now, let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. It says here, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, that's sure, because you got wrong thoughts. How are you going to have the right ways? And that came. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return any void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Word of God can't fail. Spoken words originally. All right. I do nothing till the Father show me. He worked by vision. People don't believe that. They think that's too slow. What does a prophet work by set vision? They don't understand. They don't want to understand. They want their own way. Why should you want your own way when there's a better way? But the Bible said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. All right, again. The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. Now, the Holy Spirit is watching His Word to anoint it and inspirit it, enliven it, and produce it in the manifestation at the correct time. But not before. We've had a lot of Elijahs. They all died foolishly. This was a real Elijah. Now, and if the water falls on you, and you say, bless God, let me tell you something, preacher, I'm so-and-so, and I don't believe in that stuff. You're just denominational. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's the kind of seed that's planted in you. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, of doctrine, baptism, laying on hands, blasphemy, so on, so on. This will do, God permit. All right, now listen. Paul knew the church was on the path of error. Then why did he not plant the entire Pauline gospel at this point? There's no need for it. Like I said to Brother Branham. Now, he said, not speaking irreligiously, but speaking correctly and what you might call reverently. Brother Branham, you could write a new Bible. He said, forget it, it's already written. Just needs correction. What needs correction? The interpretation men and women have given it. See? So, to go on to perfection. And Brother Branham told us what it was. The seals corrected the errors. The seals corrected the errors. This will do if God permit. But God would not permit at that time. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened taste the heavenly gift, partaking the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. Every single thing that's said here has to come forth in a ministry at the end time. Having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance. They'll never change their mind. Having crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, it's not the Son of Man because He's not here in human flesh. It's only the Son of Man ministry in the Son of God, because Son of God is the work of the Holy Spirit proving that was that one, that Son. Now listen, let's get the picture. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. How often? Seven times. Seventh perfection. Seven church ages, seven church age messengers, seven church messages. There you are. The earth that drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it bringeth forth earth meat for them by whom is dressed, receive blessing of God. But that which bear thorns and briars is rejected nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. There you are, you're talking right now about Foodie's Virgin, the whole bunch of them. Foodie's Virgin aren't going to miss it. They'll come up in the second resurrection. He said, I know some of you missed the word of God. You didn't have the vessel to take it. Foolish virgin. You'll make it to the end. You won't be burned. Your works will go up in a blaze, though. All right, we're looking at the picture here. He said, you're a denomination. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's the kind of seed that was planted. Don't misunderstand me. I love you, honey. I'm trying to get this to you, see? I'll stop at it when I finish today. I'll let it go. But I want you to know one time what's right. And the reason I believe what I believe, and I believe the devil's deceived you. Frankly, I know he has. According to the word of God, it can't fail. That's the word of God, can't fail, but you've been deceived by the devil. Yes, sir, that's why I preach those things the way I do, because God's word said it. Now, what you're looking at here is the vindication that Brother Branham backs his entire message upon, not guessing, not reasoning, not even comparing Scripture. Comparing the Scripture can only come after the doctrine has been established. Thus saith the Lord. What are you comparing? Apples and oranges? Don't be ridiculous. You don't have the doctrine, you haven't got anything else. Now, what's Brother Branham saying here? He's talking actually about the life of Almighty God. And it's all a part of God. Yet the roles are different. Time. Conditions. All of those things make a difference. But it's the same God. Just like he says concerning gifts. Different ministrations, same God. Different manifestations, same Spirit. One is in charge doing it. How strange it is people turn it aside. Oh, say, well, Brother Branham, this is a different day. It's the same word, though. You know, I heard a tape that Brother James Mayfield preached to Jack Bells. It was real cute, what he said. Not cute in the sense of cute, but it was clever. It was deep, it was beautiful. Right on the head, right on the beam. He said, there's no great mystery about dress code, men and women. He said, just go back in the Garden of Eden. Who dressed man and woman in the first place? God did. And they're different. That's where the dress really started. So why then get mad at Deuteronomy when it said a woman that wears a man's clothes is an abomination? Because God can't change what he says and what he does. He had it right in the head. God is telling women how to dress. God is telling men how to dress. God is telling women what to do with their hair. And God is telling men what to do with their hair. God has told this blasphemous church that homosexuality is filth in the sight of Almighty God, and not one shall make the kingdom of God, and preachers preaching them in, and women lesbians running the church. How long before we get out of here and the wrath of God falls? If you aren't sick to your stomach and praying for God Almighty so tired of sin that we want to get out of here, something wrong with us. It's really gotten bad now. There was a time when I said, if this is a squeeze, give me 2,000 years in good health. But what the devil's doing, just get me out of here in the next 20 minutes. Flip her over. Say, oh, well, Brother Branham, this is a different day. It's the same word, though. They got some wheat out of the garner back there in the time of Joseph and put it and planted it a couple of years ago. You see that in the magazine that produced a crop of wheat. It was still wheat. That's the reason. The only thing it needed was some water. In plain English, the New Testament came out of the Old Testament. Same word, same God. God's word is just the same as it was when he spoke it back yonder thousands of years ago. The only thing it needs is water. Why don't we get a crop? Because we got the wrong kind of seed in it. What he's really saying, why don't we get a crop of the word of God manifested? It's because we're planting the wrong thing. I've been saying for years, if you want to get something from God in the Bible, plant for it. Plant for it and water it. That's what's wrong with the people. They don't want to learn patience. God's word is just the same as he spoke it back there thousands of years ago. How many of you would like to change your letter, you know, church? Twofold child more of hell than when you started. So change your letter a few more times. How many of you Methodists like to become Baptists? You Baptists become Pentecostals. Just bring your membership over here. Oh, for goodness sake, Tommy Rod, trash of the devil. There's no life in it at all. It's hybrid, hypocritical, twice dead. Get fucked up by the roots. Didn't Jesus say every plant my heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up? Denomination or whatever it is, it will be rooted up. God's word alone will stand. Right. That's what he said. Every man's word is a lie, but mine's the truth. See? So William Branham was the seed sown from Malachi 4. Oh, people would say, that's horrible for a man to say it. Well, I'm going to say it right now. William Branham was the seed back in God's mind in eternity from Malachi 4 brought to the Gentiles. You can do what you want about it because it's live, die, sink, or swim. If I'm going to go to heaven, I might as well go bells on confessing. If I'm going to go to hell, I might as well go there bells on too because I'm going anyway. So let's make the most of it. Not just live, die, sink, or swim. Let's eat and drink and be merry. On what? The Word of God. For tomorrow we die completely out to everything and go sailing home to glory. Amen. You do what you want about it. I'm happy to go. All right, then where are you going to go to? Go through all your church organizations. You'd better come back to your senses. But you can't hear unless you're predestinated to hear it. We're going to get into that. Knowing it falls like water and ducks back. He's made to shed the water, not absorb it. Let's go to John 15. I should have used this before, but I'm a little bit stupid. I can't see my notes unless you're big handwriting. Let's look at this Messiah, this prophet, this Messiah to the Gentiles. Let's look at our Messiah here and what's happening in our day here. All right. In John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken of them, they had not sinned. Now there you are. The Word of God, the righteous judging Word, the discerning Word. He puts everything in salvation or the lack of salvation on His Word. Now, he said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they've no cloak for their sin. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Only if that one that stands at the door comes in exposing himself as the prophet and Messiah to the Gentiles. Yeah. Now, here we go again. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Now watch, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now listen to me. If one comes with greater works, with therefore a greater word. Now not greater in the sense that one word is greater than another, but the full manifestation for the hour, which is get to that tree of life and live forever. Then if one come with that which is greater, what will the judgment be? Well, it's going to be absolute annihilation. You're looking at white throne right now. You know, some people have an idea they're going to get there and something good is going to happen. Maybe we're going to finagle our way. That white throne judgment that just let you know how you botched up. It's like income tax time and they found you blew it. Now, just a minute. Let's go at it again. If this one here does greater works, then they have greater sin. And it's not forgiven them. See? Brother, sister, don't you realize with the opening of the seals we pass from time into eternity, and so therefore already we have tasted the very power of the world to come and all these things going on, the sanctification through the ages, nearly standing before the white throne. Don't you understand that as Hebrews 6? Now, if that is done, remember, then he that is filthy still. No more repentance. Not a chance. It's over. The ark door shut. The water begins to rise. Not the floods of Noah, but the waters from the eastern gate of Elijah. Not waters to swim in, but waters to carry over. Now notice what it says. If this hadn't happened, they didn't have any sin. Now watch. If I had not come and spoken, they had not sinned. But now the revelation has come. There's no way to go. Now they're hating me and hating the Father. Now watch. If I had not done among them the works none other man did, they had not sinned. So what is he talking about? He's telling you absolutely, as the prophet that had the works and they turned him down, he was no longer their Messiah. Now, where is your mediator and intercessor if you turn down this? Now, where are you? Now, it says you hate God. Now, if he was hated back then, what's the hatred like today? It is so tremendous, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the next paragraph. Then where are we going to go? You'd better come back to your senses. But you can't hear unless you're predestinated to hear it. We're getting into that. No wonder it falls like water on a duck's back. He's made to shed the water, not absorb it. Now listen, the ark was made out of gopher wood and shittim wood. Gopher wood is what it was. It's the lightest wood, nothing just but hollow, nothing to it, just simply hollow. Everything's taken out of it. It grew that way. The lightest wood there is lighter than balsa. What did they do with it? What's, in other words, why is it that way? So they could soak it with pitch. You realize that God had that tree there all that time so Noah could use it for the ark? And the pitch was there too? For the very reason? If it'd been oak, you say, wouldn't oak do just as good? No, sir. It could soak up nothing. It turns it away. It repels it. This gopher wood absorbs it. And a real seed of God is an absorbent or an absorber of the Spirit. All denominationalism is taken out. All unbelief is out. And when the Holy Spirit comes into that germ of life that's lying there, it produces another seed just exactly. Another son of God is born, amen, another amateur God, son of God. What's he saying here? Number one, he's telling you the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is believing the Word of God for the hour, and that believing is passive. It doesn't have a thing to do with activity. What does a baby have to do with its birth? It's entirely up to the birther, the mother. She's the carrier. She can carry or miscarry. Now, here's that faith he's talking about. The water germ sees it, understands it. And at this point, life displaces death. Because now, you are destined to go back to where you came from, which is back to God, but not in him as a thought, but as the thought or word manifested to take the place you were supposed to place, and through interruption you didn't have it. But now you're going to have it. Life displaces death. Live, die, sink, swim, live, die, sink, swim, live, die, sink. Is anybody mad? Oh, grit your teeth. You ain't got a thing. Come away, sitting here for it. Live, die, sink, swim. I'll get you. Now they hate it. I love it. You know why I love it? Because for me it's all over. I am either going to live or die or sink or swim. I'm finished. You say, my God, Vail, what a horrible kind of rest. I don't care how horrible it is, long as it is. Don't you understand? Amen. You should. I am a Branham because I was born of a Charlie and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I am their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together. As egg and sperm made a seed. That was me. When God, now this is the only time I know that Brother Branham used this. And he's not making the Holy Spirit female as far as I can understand this. When God and his word becomes one, hallelujah. That's it. When God's spirit waters the seed of God. The Word of God. It produces God. Well, come on, what else could it produce? A rooster and a hen get together, produces an egg, a chicken. Two dogs produce pups. Two horses produce colts. Two cows produce calves. But never let it believe that God produces gods. What can we do? I couldn't believe anything else but that. Anything else is hybrid. If the germ is there and the spirit falls on it, it's for one purpose, to bring it forth into manifestation. This is a child of God. And the evidence is your faith. Pass it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You got to believe that, brother, sister. You haven't got a clue. You haven't got a hope. Now let's watch again. When God and his word becomes one, hallelujah. That's when God's spirit waters the seed of God, the word of God. It produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. See? Now, that's true. Let's go over this again. When God and his word become one, that's when God's spirit waters the seed of God, the word of God. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the fact that the word that you had here and the life of that word comes upon it is what Brother Branham said distinctly, though you bypassed your word body. Put in a physical body that could be tempted and fall and sin, and were born into it. Come into the world speaking lies. Shaped, conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity. You can't get away from it. Now this baptism to that seed, now it's the same as though you had a word body. Why? Because now you've got an intercessor. The mediator got you, and now you're going to get kicked in. Now, it produces God. And it's not the individual. It's God. For what? You are dead. You're not yourself anymore. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you anymore. Isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's the seed germ like beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man, then it isn't the man, it's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of light. So if he's a son of death, get it over to the devil, let him kill it. Give it over to God a minute and let him kill the devil. That's in you. Run him out. Holler you up. Then let God plant his own life in you, then it's not you no more. It's God's life because it's God's word. Watered by the Holy Spirit will produce the same thing. You see it? I just love to preach on this for a few minutes. Over 30 pages or so of scripture, I could only get so far. Now what you're looking at here, as we read along, you're beginning to see two things form here. Number one, you're going to see where Brother Branham completely vindicates himself, being that absolute one to bring us Malachi 4, 5, and 6, end time ministry prophet, the Messiah on the scene, to be presented to him and him presenting himself to us. And you're also seeing the stature of a perfect man come up here, starting with the justification of the blood, faith, and right on to the very top, where love takes over, which is number 8, which is God himself. All right, manifested. The word's manifested the same by us, for it is the same word. Now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same things he did. He that believeth on me shall have my works. What is that? Believeth what? That he is the original seed germ that come, or that came. Now, you can't help but arrogate to Brother Branham what he is saying here. I am that one. Now, just a second, don't feel bad, because he is the omega of Paul. Paul is the alpha. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. And remember, when the pillar of fire struck him down, he said, "Who are you?" "I am Jehovah." Absolutely. You got the same thing right here, Brother Branham, the same thing he's saying. All right, the works manifested the same by us, for it's the same word. Now, what same word? The same word of John 14 and 12 is the same word you find in the other scripture that tell in Isaiah, particularly, I think it is, concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself took that chapter in Isaiah. See? The gracious works. He that believeth on me shall have my works. What is that? Believeth what? That he is the original seed that came. Where is the seed? Here, let me take these handkerchiefs. Here's the man that was supposed to be right here. This is the man that was supposed to be. What happened? Eve hybridized it. Then what did it do? Turned to death, keeps dying. Now this one that came out, now here stays the word of God, just the same. Here's the word lying here, just the same. In other words, the word of God, brother, sister, that was given at that time was merely short-circuited an interruption. But what started there had to go on through that period till it ran its course. Now we're at the end of the running of the course. Now watch it. Now here's the word. Now the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth. It couldn't find a place to land. Finally, this word caught into the womb of a virgin. We'll speak of the two wombs this afternoon, some more of it. And what happened? From him came forth the germ life, the thing that gives, the water that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself. The spirit came up out of him and went up. Now he's talking about the virgin birth of death and the spirit going up. Here we are. We come along. What happened? We believe it. Now what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. The manifestation that the Holy Ghost came in the form of a dove upon me and did this, not through hybridizing, but through a virgin born. Not the course of life like greeting a child, husband to wife. No, no, not that. Not a hybrid, but virgin born. Now through this, I'm giving this life that if you by faith will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the Word of God, I'll pour this life down upon you, and you can't do anything else but produce the same thing I am, there you are. Now, we don't do that.
Prophet does it. The prophet does it. It's singular. Now, remember, the plural is okay when you listen to Brother Branham. If the hand does it, the body does it. So we do it because he's a part of us and we're a part of him and all a part of God. And only the body, the bride body, is going to believe it. Now listen, "And the works that I do shall he do also." What did he do? Just as the Father led him. What he saw. John 5:19. "I do nothing till the Father shows me." What was he? Made himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God spoken word through a virgin. Brought forth a body. And in that body came the water, the Spirit. Then washed by the water of the Word, and then went in him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ, God in Christ united. What's he trying to tell you? That one became flesh at the River Jordan, baptized, the sacrifice washed. God himself came down and indwelt that one so he can say, "I am my Father in one. It is the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." And you're looking at what? You're looking at the fullness of the word for that hour, which that word of God had to be fulfilled. Bodily.
But notice he didn't create. He didn't do things that he's got to do right today and finish it off. Absolutely. Remember, it's God in him doing it. Paul says the same thing, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ means the anointed one. A man that was anointed and God dwelling him. What was it? The germ with the flesh, the anointed one. Flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God produced the Word of God made manifest. And we beheld him, the only begotten the Father, full of grace. See, there he was. See, he was God's Word made manifest. Now he died in order to pay the debt of your hybridizing. See, my, there it is. What is it? That you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself and be filled with his Word, believing his Word, and then the Spirit that was in him come down to water the Word to make it grow. Now we're right to the place of a stature again. Coming up. The more that you receive this Word, and your thoughts on this Word which were hybridized, or your own thinking or somebody else's, begins to be pushed up by this Word, the more and more life you have in you, until you can become a living statue, as Brother Branham said, because that's the only way it's going to be. And it's going to take the the Spirit of life to make it grow, and believe me, it is growing. See, then what is it? God manifesting, continuing the work of His first Son, His only begotten, see, that died for our hybridized lives, that He might reconcile us back to the sons and daughters of God, that through the church might fold the same life by the Word, continuing the Word being manifested as it was in Christ. Christ was God's Word made manifest, and He died, gave His life, that He might send the Spirit. Take His body up and send the Spirit back to water. Pay the redeeming price if we'll believe it. That's it right there, if you believe it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do. Then come the Holy Spirit upon the same Word of God. Now, you notice right in there, he's talking all the time about that promise that was detoured. The promise was detoured, but it's going to still come through a virgin bride. Now you say, why? Why do you throw it upon the Bible then? The Bible has got to be in you. The Word is a seed, and as long as it's lying there, here, it won't do anything. But when it comes in here, when it comes in the heart, then it begins to manifest by the Holy Spirit the works of God. Then visions come, power comes, humility comes. See, Satan didn't have humility. And the word humility, what is real humility? To give God credit and nobody else any credit. To make God's Word true and everybody else a lie. All your know-it-all is gone. See, that's humility. You become nothing. Christ becomes alive. You die. He lives. There it is. Because he died, I live. When I die, he lives again. And when I die, he promised me life. And I died out to myself so in order I can have his life. And how did I do it? By taking his Word, his seed. Put his seed in here by faith and believe it. And then it produces exactly what the Bible said. Now, he's not talking about William Branham, the seed he was born with. He's talking about this seed Word right here that God gave him. Because Brother Branham is not his own foreknower. And he's not his own predestinator. In fact, no child is born of its own will. Let's understand that flat. So you see, you got to watch it. Now, my brethren, search out across the country. We find a lot of imitation. So who's he talking about? He's talking about himself and the people around him and about those people and the people around them. See, we are the children of the prophet. We're Branhamites. It's scriptural. All right, the works is same manifested in his church that would be, that was manifested in Christ. Now watch in the church, his church. And who's going to do it? Could anybody go ahead of Paul? No. He said so. John 14:12. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. Is that right? All right, predestinated as he was, makes the Word seed flesh. I better stop right now. Maybe you wouldn't, but somebody out in tape land might not understand. How much time we got? 20 minutes. I'll quit here, because you got to roll your clocks back. Brother Branham is now going to talk about predestination, and you better believe that he's going to talk about himself. And he's not going to be Pentecostal like one brother years ago, and I really loved the guy. He's very charismatic, Clifton Erickson, and I began hitting him in all fours with predestination. That's why one guy called me the Calvinistic kid. It was a kind of a joke, which is still a joke. But anyway, as we talked, he said, well, Brother Vail, I'll tell you one thing. I do not disregard predestination because it is in the Bible. But I do believe that certain... Now listen to him. That certain people are predestinated to do a work, then the rest follow them. My sheep hear my voice, and the goats just may follow, and the pigs may ramble in, too, for all I know. And the dogs may start to howl. Yea, they may never growl, for they come along, for they hear the voice too, you know. Oh, gosh. The sheep know the voice. Don't mind my little satirical outburst. I just want to let you know that this stuff out here is so much manure. So much manure. It's what you're feeding the chickens. Processed horse manure. Right. That's exactly what they do. Don't tell me they don't. That's why the eggs taste so rotten. The chickens are so yucky. Yeah. I don't go for it. There is a picture show called Soylent Green. I never saw it. And Soylent Green is where people in the world was so crowded that all they could barely do is go shoulder to shoulder, and they had their products handed to them by some bureaucracy or world dictator, and they lived on these little green pills called Soylent Green. And every time somebody died, the crew was there to pick them up, and nobody knew what happened. One day one fella broke the barrier, got in, and found that all the dead folk were being ground up and fed back to the people. Well, full of dead men's bones, it ain't for me. I'll put my hope on Calvary. Oh, yes, the blood of Jesus made me free, and the Holy Ghost established me in His Word. I'm that stuff out there. Got no time for it. Yep, it's time for the saints to come marching home. Not with flambéed desserts like they had at a big business meeting. With the flaming word of Almighty God. Red hot in our hearts. You love the Lord tonight? Personally, I feel great. I love this. Yes, I really do. You talk about icing on the cake and all the good things. I just don't know what I'd do without it. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer and then we'll read the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we look to You now at this particular time for the little reading of Scripture concerning the fellowship we have in each, with each other around the Word and then on to the communion table and foot washing. May it be pleasing, Lord. May it be a time of joy. Not just dipping buckets in the wells of salvation, Lord, but floating across on the great redemption stream, flowing from Ezekiel's eastern gate, all the way into glory, caught up to that great dimension. Lord, we know that if we just dared to reach out in faith, we'd be touching Your garment, literally, in that great dimension. People being healed of issues of blood and everything else. She only touched the hem of His garment. Yeah, that's all. But she was healed. Help Your people, Lord, to see that reaching into that great dimension. The great dimension of the Spirit that Brother Branham brought us. By the strength that You gave him, pull himself up and see what was there. And telling us, vindicated. Lord, he never ever told a lie. No, there's no lie in him. He's like that gopher wood, ready for the sweet honey of God to fill the empty places that were there because he had turned himself over to God. When his old life was gone, he'd just be full of holes, Lord, and hollow, except there was another life come in, the great life of God, watering the germ within him to set him forth, Lord, as he was. And he stood as God before the people and revealed Messiah. How wonderful to know the truth. And every day, Lord, it gets simpler and simpler. We ought to just come together every day. I know, Lord, we can't leave our jobs and come together like a bunch of those people out there. They're foolish. Their folly be manifested. But, Father, we can take the Word with us and meditate upon it. Talk it. Whatever way, Lord, necessary to build us up in the most holy faith as is in Christ Jesus revealed to us this hour.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're over here in the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And you notice in here, this is the one we mentioned the other day about the ordinances. And he's talking about the ordinances. And before he gets to communion, which is certainly an ordinance, he's talking about an ordinance in the home and in the church, which is the man cuts his hair and the woman doesn't cut hers. So, cut hair is a no-no. How can a woman go to the Lord's table for their hair cut? How can she go not under submission? To the word of Almighty God. See? Also, how could a woman go to the table of God dressed unseemly? No matter how much you preach, you find people just don't believe nothing. You know, women here didn't like the idea about, and some of the men didn't either, when I said, you women, you better get that slit out of the back of your skirt. I went so far to explain, though I haven't given you the whole truth of it. But it'll likely shock you. Showing how much you really know about life. What's out there. Remember the longest girl that came to Brother Branham? Said, Brother Branham, is it okay if I let my slip show about an inch below my skirt? And he said, sister, what in the world would make a woman want to show her underclothes? And what was in this church that women walked down this aisle with those skirts open? Now, come on, you men. You're supposed to run your homes. You don't dare tell your wife she's got an evil spirit on her, a filthy spirit? No, because she'd smack your chops in. Where are you? What kind of wives you got? What'd you marry? What'd you women marry? My wife and Abigail, we have no trouble. I mentioned, maybe you should let your hair grow long because Brother Brand is no tiddlywink. She said, fine, I like it. Hey, how can you come to the table of God? With a filthy spirit on you. Little Amish girl wanted to show 1 inch of petticoat. Cute little lace, I guess. Cute little lacy hat and a cute little inch of the pinnacle. Filthy spirit. Oh, no, Brother. Oh, no. Oh, my. They're. Oh, yeah. Filthy spirit. What do you want excuses for? Huh? It's like the preacher got drunk. Why did he get drunk? Well, you see, he had to have wine to relax to go to sleep at night. How many preachers are alcoholics today because the doctor said take a little sip of wine? They're boozers now. The Bible said sin entered and death by sin. And what was the first manifestation of sin that brought death? Two naked people indulging in sex they had no right to at that particular time. So he covered their bodies. You think Brother Branham would say, Brother Bale, you opened your mouth too loud when you told about slit? Come on, if he couldn't stand an inch of petticoat, that even give more covering the skirt. But it suggested, didn't it? It suggested, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Filthy spirit. Well, you say, men got a filthy spirit on them. Well, sisters, that's your business, whatever you think. I can argue. But I didn't say men should do it. I can't believe that. No. Table of the Lord is a very, very precious, sincere thing. We don't have women wearing men's clothes, men wearing women's clothes, men leaving their hair grow long, and women cutting their hair off.
We don't find men superseding women to what they're supposed to do and women superseding men. You know, the one girl that doesn't come here anymore, she really doesn't like me because she said, you got to watch Brother Dale. He's trying to take authority over the church. Listen, if I don't teach you the word of God, I'm exposed to. I'm delinquent, and you're in trouble. I never took authority over anybody in my life. What do I care what anybody does? I just preach the word, hoping somehow you'll take authority over me. But you see, she can't stand it, because I caught her. I don't care what Brother Branham says, she told me. I go to the Bible. I said, sister, Brother Branham just got it out of the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. Just wonder sometimes. You see why I preach? That if you don't have your passive faith right, forget about your active, because you ain't going to do it anyway. Amen. How far did I get tonight over here? I'll let you get home pretty soon so you roll your clocks. Yeah, I'll get over here later on. We're going to get over here, yeah, later. So I'll have to bring it in. All right. What does it say? Paul received what he didn't see and didn't know, and God just gave him a vision, talked to him, said, this is how it is, explained it. Now, these are emblems. And you're supposed to be 100% with the emblem, right? No leaven. Bread made up. Wine. Because of what it types. Okay. We know that's true. And this being the case, we also remember, Brother Branham said, we're little messiahs, we're little gods. Fact of the matter is, we are children of God. Sons of God, joint heir with Christ if we suffer with him. Now, one is an emblem. The other's reality. Now, you know why that Jesus is not ashamed of us? Not because of what we've done or ever will do. He's not ashamed because we're all of one source. We have one Father. So what does the communion table then tell us? We come together having one Father. So your testimony tonight is, I am a child of God. I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed him against that day, which is this day. I recognize his presence and his worth. And in as much humility as I can muster within me and bring myself down, I admit his truth. And everything he said about me was good. I accept it. And here's my witness tonight. I'm a part of his body. I'm living on the life that was given back to come upon the seed. That's what you're looking at. Let's rise at this time. The elders, brethren, come forward. And remember, we have foot washing right away. There's room here for 12 brethren right away. So your foot washing goes smoothly. And you know how we serve. We come around fairly rapidly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we're about to partake of these emblems, where we stand guard, as Brother Branham said, we know they represent something so tremendous in this world that the actual taking of them, not as though nothing in themselves, but symbolize and stand for the act of all history, right to this point where we recognize that life that was given is back here upon the people, and the life of God was manifested in this hour, proving that this is the end time And we with confidence, Lord, can partake of these emblems to the glory of God in sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit and together recognizing our position and place in Christ because we are the children and because we do believe and by your grace overcoming, getting out of the way as the prophet did and taught us, we too can live lives, Lord, that can contribute to your glory, for this is that sacred, wonderful hour. Help us, therefore, may we not be in vain or in any way out of line. Cleanse our hearts by the blood. Establish us through the life of the Spirit and the Word. And unto you we give the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.